Now's the Time, episode 58. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Welcome, friends, again to another episode of Now is the Time. I'm coming to you live from, not exactly live, but I am coming to you from Odessa, Ukraine, where we serve here as missionaries. We've been here for the last 8 years already. Actually, this month marks 8 years here in Ukraine, serving the Lord, preaching the gospel, working to train young men and women, and some middle-aged men and women, and some older men and women, all men and women, to serve our God, to preach the gospel, to help the church grow. And what a pleasure and privilege that is for us. Today, my topic is actually a continuation of my last podcast, which was just 1 month ago, and that is, the topic is repentance. And so the last podcast was five misconceptions about repentance. If you didn't catch that podcast, just check it out. You might want to listen to it because it does contain, I talk about the definition of repentance there and things like that. And that was episode number 57. So check out sugofamily.org/57 and you can listen to that podcast there. Or, you know, I don't mention this often, but you can always grab this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. Just the easiest way is to search for my name, Caleb Succo, in iTunes or Stitcher. I'll put a link, there's always a link in the show notes as well. You can find that link there, and then you can get it on your mobile device, on your phone, your iPad, or whatever device you're using. Okay, so our topic today is repentance, and particularly, I want to talk about four qualities of true repentance, or four signs of true repentance. What does true repentance look like when it happens, and how can we know that it happens? I also want to talk about three different types of repentance, because when we look at the New Testament, we see that repentance is used in several different contexts, the idea of repentance. So we're going to be talking about those issues, and I think they are basic issues, but they are also vital, vital issues. Sorry, this chair is kind of creaky. I don't know if you can hear that on the microphone or not, but okay, before we get into that topic, let's just go over a couple of things that have been happening here the last month. Man, summer is almost over now, and it's just been crazy for us. It's been crazy for a couple of reasons. One, lots of travel. Two, lots of ministry. Three, we're remodeling our kitchen and our bathroom and our toilet. The bathroom and toilet in the most houses here are separate rooms, by the way. So it's just been kind of crazy, which means that because of that remodel, we have not been living in our apartment for the last 2 months. It's been 2 months that we've been out of our own place. And so that always just kind of jumbles up your life a little bit when you're not living at home. But you know, you go with the flow, you trust God, and you keep moving forward. So a couple of prayer requests. Do pray that we'll be able to get into our apartment here pretty soon. Really, the remodel is just about done. We're kind of waiting for them to bring some countertops for our kitchen. And so we're really, really looking forward to getting back into our own place again and kind of settling into a routine for the fall. That being said, I've been doing a lot of traveling. I was up in Kiev last month. I think I mentioned that in the previous podcast. Went up there for our institute's administrative team meetings. Some great meetings up there. We finalized, we're finalizing all of our first level courses. And what I mean by that is we're getting them into a How's the best way to explain that? So our first level of our institute is taught only in local church context settings. We have six courses, and a lot of those courses, they've morphed through the years. We've tried to make them to be very practical and useful on the local church level. And what we're trying to do right now is take all those six courses, standardize them according to some of our accreditation standards, standardize them in the sense of the hours they require, also edit them because they were in need of some major editing, and then get design done and print it. And it's really huge job because that means that's the course syllabi plus the notes for the teachers. And so we are trying to get that done here in the next few months. And really appreciate your prayers because once we get that done, it's just going to be a very, very powerful and useful instrument for local churches here in Ukraine, and not only in Ukraine, but in Moldova and Russia as well. So pray for us as we finalize all of our first level courses, get them ready for printing. As always, dear friends, we can use help with those kinds of things. If you just go to our website and click on the support link, you can find out how to give towards these types of things. Sometimes I don't even mention that, but I think that you understand that those things do cost some money. And but we're putting these in the hands of local church leaders and training them so that they can have this foundation in theology. The other thing that we were discussing and that we are pushing forward on is we're finishing five more online courses. What I mean by finishing is preparing them in Russian, putting them in the online format. We've already completed one. We're almost complete with a second, and then we'll have four more courses that we're going to be putting online after that. Again, a lot of work, and I'm looking forward to just this week getting back into it. And really, the next course that's coming up is Old Testament survey. And so we still have a bit of work to get that ready to go. Really appreciate your prayers for that. But some exciting things happening there. And then finally, this fall, also we're gonna be doing we're planning one conference for our Bible school directors and leaders, and that's gonna be in October. And then we're also planning to take part in another conference for ministry leaders that I believe is gonna be in November sometime. And so appreciate your prayers for wisdom as we plan these conferences. These are really big opportunities to make an impact and influence a lot of church leaders from all over Ukraine. And so those are what we have in the work right now. And we're already looking forward to the fall and to just a lot of good ministry coming up. Now, I didn't even mention this. I just spent last week in the village about 50 miles outside of Odessa here with our students, where we had something called Extreme Institute. And in fact, I'll try to put a link. Yeah, I can put a link in the show notes to one of our videos from out there because we spent last Friday out in this village. Well, actually, our students were there from Thursday through Saturday, but mainly on Friday, we went out through the whole village and just invited children to come to the Bible camp that they were going to have there on Saturday and Sunday, and just talked with people and shared the gospel with people. And it's really interesting, you know. A number of people were very open, a number of people were interested in talking. Some people were not so open, some people got upset at us, not really very many, one or two. But pray for those seeds that have been planted because we definitely had opportunity to share the gospel with a number of people. Pray for those seeds that were planted and for the village of Limani. There's a very small church there, about 10, 12 people, and we just want to support that church. We want that church to be a light in that village of Limani, which is a village of probably 400 or 500 people and many people that need the gospel there. So that was a great opportunity that we had this last week. All right, that is the news for this episode. And again, that will all be in the show notes. So you can just check out sukafamily.org/58 and kind of get the bullet points for those prayer requests and things. Let's talk about repentance. Repentance, if you listen to my last podcast, I did define repentance as repentance is really deep change of mind. It's a core change of mind, or you could say a change of heart, because it really happens at the heart level. And it is a change that is a change of our core beliefs about who God is, who Jesus is, and who we are. And repentance is something that is very closely connected to faith. And so that oftentimes in the New Testament, it will say things like repent and believe. So it means literally change your mind. If you believe, or if you believed that Jesus was just a good man but not God, change your mind, repent, and believe in him as God and as Savior, okay? If you believe that you were a good person, could get into heaven by your own good works, repent, change your mind about that. And instead, believe that you are not a good person, that you cannot get into heaven by your good works. So repentance is always connected with belief in that sense, that repentance sort of shows the big picture of a person who went from, I used to believe this, and then I realized it was wrong, and now I believe that. And so just want to show you that connection to faith and belief, okay? So, and I'm not going to go into any more detail about that. You can listen to the previous podcast, episode number 57, if you want to hear more in depth about the definition of repentance and some false understandings of what repentance is. But what I want to talk about today is three particular types of repentance and then four characteristics of true repentance. So, first of all, let's look at three types of repentance in the New Testament. First of all, I think the thing that we most connect with repentance is salvation. That point in time where a person goes from unbelief to belief. And so certainly there is a type of repentance that we call repentance to salvation. I say we, the Bible calls it repentance to salvation. And so when Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 7:10, he says to them, for having sorrow in a godly way results in repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regrets. But the sorrow of the world produces death. And so he's talking about two different types of sorrow there. One type of sorrow is when you are upset or sorry because you were found out. You were upset because you are going to be punished for something that you did. Like when I walk into the room and I find my children eating the cookies before dinner, and they are sorry because they know that they might be punished for what they did, right? They're not necessarily sorry because they feel like that is an affront to a holy God. They're not necessarily sorry because they feel like, oh, look how we've disappointed our dad. No, they're sorry because they know that they might not get any more cookies tonight. And that kind of sorrow does not lead to real repentance. The sorrow that leads to real repentance is true sorrow over our personal sin and how that separates us from God. And so Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 7:10 that there is a godly sorrow, and the result is what? Repentance. Repentance to salvation. So literally, repentance to salvation. And that is the first type of repentance, repentance to salvation. And like I said, repentance to salvation is when that change in mind at a core level happens, and a person goes from thinking that I'm not a sinner, or thinking that that Jesus wasn't a real person or wasn't God, any of those wrong beliefs, goes from those wrong beliefs to right beliefs. That is repentance to salvation. They go from disbelief in Jesus as their Savior. They go from disbelief in their own, about their own personal sin, to belief. And they say, yes, I do believe Jesus is God. I do believe he died for me on the cross. I do believe he can forgive my sins if I believe in him, if I put my faith in him. And so Paul calls that repentance to salvation. Of course, that is the most important type of repentance there is. But repentance is not just a one-time thing. Salvation, when we get saved and put our faith in Christ, that is a one-time thing. But repentance continues just like our faith continues. When you put your faith in Christ, you don't say, oh, I put my faith in Christ once, so I'm good. No, you continue to believe in him. And you continue in your salvation. When you repent, then you continue in your repentance. And so repentance is also described as what I would say, repentance as a way of life. And the best verse that really shows that is Romans 12:2, where Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but continually be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to determine what God's will is, what his proper, pleasing, and perfect. So, and here, the word repent, repentance, metanoia, is not used. But there is another meta word used here that means just more in general to change, to be transformed. That's what's translated there, to transform. But to transform what? Your mind. Your mind. So it really, this verse contains the same concept of a continual renewing, a continual forming and molding and changing of your mind, of our minds, so that they reflect the mind of God, so that they reflect the truth that we have in his word. Okay? And that is what I call repentance as a way of life. And that is the type of repentance that every believer is to have. And again, I love to go back to Martin Luther here, where when he wrote his 95 Theses, the first one said, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sorry, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't know it word for word, but when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, repent and believe, he called for the life of the believer to be a life of repentance, of continual repentance. And that was the first of the 95 theses that, and literally in that text, where I think it's in Mark, where Jesus begins to preach right after John concludes his ministry. Jesus preached the gospel. So Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he preached, let's see, where is that? It's Mark, I think it's Mark 1:14. I probably should look that up. Hold on, let me look that up real quick. So yeah, Mark 1:14, 1:15, where Jesus preached, repent and believe. And literally those verbs, they are used in the present tense. Be repenting, be believing, okay? So repentance as a way of life. And then the third type of repentance is repentance from particular sins. And here, again, going back to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:21, where he writes to the Corinthians and he says, I'm afraid that when I come, my God may again humble me before you, that I may have to grieve over many who formerly lived in sin and have not repented of their impurity, sexual immorality, and promiscuity that they once practiced. So here it seems to be that Paul is talking to believers, and this is not necessarily a repentance to salvation, but these are believers who have sinned. They've done some sort of a sin, and they never really publicly, even though people knew about that sin, they never really repented of that sin. And they never really changed their mindset with how they think about that sin. Maybe they still think, well, that wasn't really so bad. And so Paul calls them to repent. And this is what I would say, repentance of a particular sin, okay? I offended my brother. I should repent of that. I committed adultery. I should repent of that. Repentance of a particular sin. Because those particular sins, while, of course, they do not cause us to lose our salvation, they do cause damage to our relationships here on earth. And they do keep us from growing spiritually. And so we need to repent of those particular sins as well. Okay, so those are the three different types of repentance That is repentance to salvation, repentance as a way of life, and repentance from a particular sin. Now, let's look at some characteristics of true repentance. First of all, I have four characteristics, by the way. First of all, a clear understanding of the gospel, okay? Repentance without a clear understanding of the gospel is really nothing more than just sadness over the pain that our sin has caused us. So we really need to strive when we are preaching the gospel to communicate it clearly so that person isn't just, you know, expressing some sort of sadness about their sin. Yes, sadness is part of it, but repentance is an idea that includes much, much more than just being sad about the consequences of our sin. So, true repentance has a clear understanding of the gospel. Number two, true repentance exhibits true personal faith in Jesus. Okay, again, I have seen situations where people, it's almost like they're repenting like on their own strength, like they're just trying to kind of like gather themselves together and be better. I remember talking to a guy once. He said, I want to repent, I'm trying to repent, but I just can't do it. And to me, it was like I didn't even hardly know what to answer him, because in my mind, like, what do you mean you can't do it? You have to understand this is something that God does in you. And so when people just try to kind of repent without Jesus, what ends up is that they just kind of, they can sort of change their lifestyle for a little bit. Maybe there's kind of a temporary inner peace that they receive. They feel a little bit better, but they're just going to fall back into those same patterns of living again if they try to do it without faith in Jesus, okay? Repentance isn't just about promising that you're going to be a better person. It is about putting your faith in Jesus. And that is a characteristic of true repentance. The third characteristic of true repentance is a deep sadness over personal sin. So yeah, I have talked about sadness and said that, you know, it's not just sadness, but sadness is part of it, friends. And while some people might have many tears, might shed many tears, other people may not shed a tear at all, there just has to be an element of sadness there. Why? Because we just can't come to the conclusion of how terrible our sin is before a holy God and not have some sort of sadness. And I don't want to judge that sadness by this person cried more than this person, or this person seemed more broken than that person. But nevertheless, Paul talks about it. He talks about a sadness that leads, a grief, maybe that's a better word for it, that leads to repentance. And he talked about, he even said, you know, I'm not upset that I made you sad, that I made you grieve over your sin, because you needed that so that you would repent. And certainly when someone even has a most basic understanding of how terrible their sins are before a holy God, there's gonna be this some sort of a grief in their heart. And that is another characteristic of true repentance. And then number four is a characteristic of true repentance is that you see a life that produces fruit of repentance. It's very, very simple. Yet it's a very true principle that even Christ gave us, that you shall know them by their fruit. And that if we are in Christ, who is the vine, then we will produce fruit. If we are not, we will not produce fruit. And so real repentance leads to real faith, and real faith always produces fruit. And you know, friends, why does it produce fruit? Because it's God's work, and He is able. And if He saved you, then He will produce fruit in your life. And I'm not saying that everyone is going to be immediately some sort of a star apostle or amazing evangelist, or that your life is going to immediately become 200% holier. But what I'm saying is that there will be some sort of visible fruit in your life. That is a characteristic of true repentance. So there you have it, folks. The characteristics of true repentance is what I can see from the Bible: clear understanding of the gospel, true personal faith in Jesus, deep sadness over personal sin, and a life that produces fruit of repentance. And I want to mention the resources here. They are in the show notes. I'm not sure how much I mentioned them last time, but two good and classic books. One, Thomas Watson, The Doctrine of Repentance. Number two, J.C. Ryle's, simply the book called Repentance, okay? And I think that you can get those very, very cheap, like 99 cents on Kindle, or if I remember right, even one of them might, I think Thomas Watson might even be free, okay? But I also want to mention that those links are links to our Amazon Associate account, and so that if you do buy anything on Amazon, after you click on those links, a small percentage does go back to us, and we appreciate that because we just put that into the ministry. So that's a great little way that you can support our ministry, and we appreciate that. All right, one question: how does your understanding of repentance affect the way that you share the gospel today? Okay, send me your answer to that question. Send it to me by email, or post a comment, or post it on Facebook, however you want to send it to me. Answer that question: how does your understanding of repentance affect the way that you share the gospel? Okay, before I go, I forgot one thing. I wanted to share with you a voicemail. I got a voicemail after the last podcast from Wayne. And Wayne, thank you so much for your voicemail. It was an encouragement to me. And so I want to play that real quick here, and then I'll respond to it, okay? Because there is something I think I can respond to there. So here we go. Here's Wayne's voicemail that he left.
Hey, Caleb. Good evening from New Fairview, Texas. This is Wayne Getty. And I'm so impressed with the technology that you have been using to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's extremely professional and well done, and a blessing. I just got home from work. It's about 100 degrees outside at 7:28 in the evening out here in North Texas. Hot, humid, typical Texas summer out here. But I just want to say hi to you. This time I can say it to you audibly. And thanks to the technology that you're promoting here. And I just think it's awesome. I've also am helping my pastor. I just created for our little tiny church of 25 to 30 people so far, our first website. And so I am just very thrilled to see with what you've been able to do in that area also. But anyway, blessings to you and your family. And I can hardly wait to hear your next podcast. This is great. Anyway, take care and God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Wayne. That was definitely very encouraging to hear from you. And it does sound hot in Texas. By the way, right now in Ukraine, where we are, it's about 95 degrees. It does cool down a little bit at night. But so we're not that much cooler than you are in Texas, if you can believe it or not. We're hot and dry here, though. We're not very humid, at least right now. But I want to respond to a couple of things. The technology. Here's the deal with the technology. It is my firm conviction that we ought to use all the resources, all the tools to their fullest in order to spread God's kingdom, in order to preach the gospel. And so that is simply one of the reasons why I have tried, and I'm trying, to use things like podcasts, video, website, blog, and things like that, because we have to under, they have tremendous influence and impact today. Now, never, ever, ever do we use them in exclusion to the old analog face-to-face, one-on-one talking. And I think you can probably tell by following me enough that that we are very active in doing that. I mean, I spent last Friday just walking around a village, meeting people, talking to them, and sharing the gospel with them. No technology involved. We can always, always, we're not limited by technology. And we should never be limited by technology. The gospel does not require technology, but where we can use it, and where we can use it for God's glory, and where we can use it to multiply our effect, I think that we ought to, and I think we have responsibility to. And so certainly I've tried to use that in different ways, with videos, with audio, and with writing. And also we're doing that in the Institute. One of the things that you may not see if you're not a Russian speaker is we do now have a fairly active blog called bogoslovia.net, which means theology. And I write on there in Russian just about once a week. We also include videos from conferences, from ministry leader conferences, pastors conferences that we take part in, and we try to use that in a way that would help churches, that would be a tool, a resource for churches here, that would encourage them and educate them in theology, in proper preaching, in ministry practices, and all those kinds of things, okay? And so, anyway, so that's my desire. That's our desire in our Institute. That's our desire with our online education program, is using these tools to their fullest, just like we have to use our life to our fullest. And we need to be constantly looking for better ways, greater ways, share the gospel. I mean, that's why we're here, friends. I mean, this is why, and not just here in Ukraine, but that is why we're here on Earth, okay? So, use those tools, friends. And by the way, there's a tool right on our website. If you go to sukofamily.org, there's a little tab on the right that says SpeakPipe. Leave me a message, and I can play it on the next podcast. Leave me a question. I can answer it on the next podcast. Or if you just want to say hi, it works really great for those things. All right, guys, that is it for this episode. Let me know what you think about that question. How does your understanding of repentance affect how you share the gospel? And until next time, blessings.